Well, the reading is found in Psalm 119 and the third section, the Gimel section, that's verses 17 to 24. This is God's word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks from longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. We're going to look today at the third section of Psalm 119, the Gimel section. This acrostic psalm is written in a way to help memorization, and the first verse is the key to that particular section. And so the first verse is the part that I'm going to spend most time on, and when we've got that, then the rest should flow. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Why is it that sometimes our prayers don't get answered? Why is it that sometimes Christians are discouraged and lack contentment? Why is it that some people who want to become Christians don't seem to become Christians? Why is that? Well, the answer is found in verse 17. This here we find is the key to the heavenly life. The first verse here is the answer to true contentment. This first verse is the verse about what Christianity is all about. And here David is bringing this at the start, because this really is a written down prayer. He is now coming before the Lord. He has said in the first section, how does somebody become a believer? And in the second section then, he talks about how do we carry on walking in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And now this section, he automatically goes to prayer. And he is addressing the Lord. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. We have two things in this verse. The first thing is a request. A demand, a plea to the Lord, deal bountifully with your servant. And then we have the reason for the request, that I may live and keep your word. The word deal bountifully is a word which means deal favorably, deal nicely, well. Deal in a way that is good for me. And so often people, when they pray prayers like that. They pray for themselves. But this prayer is different. Because here he says, deal bountifully with your servant. When David here comes before the Lord, he knows who he is. And he doesn't come as an equal to an equal. He doesn't come as one who is in charge to somebody who is subservient. He comes as a servant to a master. This is what prayer is. We are coming, we are bowing our heads. We are worshipping. We are adoring. We are giving to God his due because he is God. He is our maker and sustainer. The creator of the heavens and the earth and everything in it. A breath that we take is given from him. We are in his hand. He looks upon us. He guides our steps. Before a thought is in our mind, before a word is on our lips, he knows it altogether. He is God. And here David comes to the Lord with this plea. Deal bountifully with your servant. Really, it's very easy to apply this to ourselves. When we come to God, are we really praying? Have we got the relationship right? Do we come to the Master? to the only wise God, to whom belongs power, dominion, glory and majesty? Or do we come to somebody that we have conjured up in our mind that will do what we want? A sort of Jeeves. You know, there's Jeeves and Worcester. There's the butler that always sorts things out for the stupid master, and he always lives to do his bidding. And so many people think God is like Jeeves. We get into scrapes, we get into problems, difficulties, we make errors, and Jeeves gets us out. And then when Jeeves doesn't get us out, well, really, there's something wrong with Jeeves. He's not doing his job. And so often, Christians can be like that. But here, when David comes to the Lord, he comes to the Lord with the right balance. Deal bountifully. He's asking for grace. He's asking for mercy. He's asking for help. He's asking for favour. I want favour from you, Lord. I want you to deal with me in a way that I don't deserve. I want you to deal so kindly and gently with me. I want you to deal wisely with me. Why? Because I am your servant. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Hear me, Saviour, or I die. Do we, when we come to God, have this attitude? Do we have the right attitude in prayer? There are people who want, or say they want to be Christians, and they say, I've tried and it hasn't worked. Have you come to God as a servant? Have you come to God as a sinner? Have you come to God as somebody who has nothing? And you're coming to him as the master and the creator. Have you come to him humbly? Have you come to him like David here? A Christian. Christians, we're not great. You can look in the mirror, and you know when you look in the mirror, you're not great. I can look in the mirror and I can see a sinner looking back at me. There's nothing to commend me before God. Oh, you do this, you do that. But what can I do? He's given me so much, I can never repay him. And the things that I do that you don't know about. Secret sins. Deal bountifully with your servant. We need to come to God aright. So many people say that there is no God. Why? Because something's gone wrong in their life. Why? Because God should be doing everything for them their way. And yet the Lord is giving them difficulties. He's giving them strange providences. Why? To show them that this world is passing away. And that they must cling to him who is eternal. They need to get the balance right. But he is the Lord. And you know in the New Testament this is ratcheted up. And it's shown even in more detail when the Lord teaches his disciples how to pray. And he has the same emphasis. When you pray, say, Our Father. He's the Father. He's wise. He's the one in charge. He is older than you. He is the one that you are to look to. Our Father, who art in heaven. How can he make mistakes? I must remember who I am. Hallowed be thy name. When I come and I bring my petitions before you, I must remember that it is to you that the glory goes, not to me. And when I'm praying, I am praying for you to be lifted up and exalted in this world, and so that I may know and serve you. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How much of that prayer is about the prayer? It's not much so far, is there? Deal bountifully with your servant. That's the request. And the request here is given more because why is he asking for bounty? Why is he asking for God to help him? Why do we go to God in prayer? Well, we go because we have this problem and we have this difficulty and we ask God to remove it. If you look at the prayers of Paul in the New Testament, he doesn't ask the churches to pray him out of prison. He doesn't ask the churches to give him a life of ease or to ease his burdens. He doesn't do that. Because he learnt when he had this messenger of Satan buffeting him, this difficulty. And he besought the Lord 3 times. And he asked that he would be removed. Because he thought that he'd be able to be a more efficient servant if this was removed from him, this difficulty, this problem, whatever it was. And the Lord said to him, no, my grace is sufficient. So he learnt that. And we can see in the prayers there, he prays that the Lord will give him opportunity to glorify him wherever he is. However the difficulties, whatever the problems, the Lord will give an opportunity for the word to go forth. The people would be converted. The people would grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does David say? He's got his request, deal bountifully with your servant. Not that I may have a life of ease, that I may live and keep your word. He wants to live. He wants to live. This doesn't necessarily mean that he doesn't want to die. He means he wants to be energized. He wants to have ability. He wants to be able to serve, that I may live. Deal bountifully with me. Pour in me your Holy Spirit. Do not take him away from me. Give me an ability so that I may live, that I may be able to serve you. I know that this world is carnal. I know that I am in a world that I don't belong, but I need your help to live as I should. Therefore, give me life that I may live and keep your word. When we come to God for prayer, or in prayer, do we come to him in the right way? And do we come to him asking for ability, for strength, for long life and length of days, that we may live and keep his word? Keep. There's a twofold meaning here in the Hebrew. Keep means to garrison. It's sort of like you've got soldiers who are protecting something. He's asking that the Lord would deal with him in a gracious way, with grace and mercy and help, because he's his servant. And he is a servant and he wants to be able to live, to protect the word. We are here to protect the word. The Christian, the believer in the Old Testament, the Christian in the New Testament, we are here to serve God and to keep his word, to protect it, to hide it in our hearts, to memorize it, to use it, to defend it, to stand up with it, to use it, that I may live and keep your word. But also keep means to do. He knows that he can't do God's word without help. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. I can't do the things that I ought to do, because I am sold under sin. I am weak. Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. I know that if temptation comes my way, I'm going to fall into it. I'm going to collapse. Only this week, it's a silly illustration, but it makes the point. Only this week, I had people coming to visit me for tea. And I made the fatal mistake of buying the cakes on Monday. And they were coming on Wednesday. So Wednesday morning, I had to buy the cakes again. Because somebody must have broken into my house when I wasn't looking and stole all the cakes. I had to do a bit of extra running on Tuesday and Wednesday to make sure I could fit into my clothes. But it's temptation. We know we're weak in certain areas. We know we have difficulties in certain regards. And here he is asking for God to deal with him. Deal bountifully with your servant. I live to serve Ichdin, I serve you, that I may live and keep your word. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Exactly the same emphasis. When we come to the Lord in prayer, do we not get what we want because we're asking for the wrong things? Do we not get what we want because we want to spend them on our own lusts? They're for ourselves. We need to be like David here Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. We need to have the right idea of who God is and who we are when we come to pray. And we need to pray in the right way, in the right spirit, that we may live, that we may have strength and ability. For the Lord gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Therefore, ask, seek, knock. For those who ask will be given to them. Those who seek shall find, and those who knock, the door shall be opened to you. The Lord doesn't hold things back. He gives his gifts to those who ask. He has promised to give us of his Spirit. He has promised to bless us. He has promised to keep us. He has promised to make us live and to serve him. He has promised to draw near to those who draw near to him. And here we are asking for that. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Now the word in Hebrew is twofold. There are two words for word in the Hebrew. And this word here is the word davar, which means the overall structure, the overall plan. And here David is saying, I want you to deal bountiful with me. I want you to deal with me in a blessed way. Why? That I may hold your word, that I may keep it, that I may fulfill it. So what's God's overall plan? Well, God's overall plan is that he should save a people for himself. That's his overall plan. His overall plan is that he will take out of the world people who are to be saved. That he will select those who are the called according to the purpose. That he will place his love upon them. That the son of his love should come and love them with an everlasting love. And live for them in this world. And die on a cross for their sins. And be raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. And ascend into heaven. The Messiah. That's the word. But the word doesn't stop there. Because the word affects the people that God has saved. The word affects those who are called. Look at the sections here that we've got. In Romans chapter 8, which the last hymn was really based on. Romans 8:28, we all know that, don't we? And we know that all things work together for good. To those who have loved God, or who love God. To those who are the called according to his purpose. And then there's verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, the purpose of the word is that people are to be saved and that all things are going to work together for our good. Why? That we may be the firstborn. No, that we may be conformed to the image of his firstborn. Why do difficulties come into our lives? Because the Lord is using them to conform us to his firstborn. Why are there little things that come into our lives to test our patience? Because he wants our patience to develop. He wants us to grow in love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, self-control. How do you build up muscles? Well, you build up muscles by working those muscles. How do you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord does that by making you go to him as much as you possibly can. You know, when you're a little child and you're going for a walk with your mum and your dad and you're running ahead. And then there's a noise in the bushes. And you're not quite sure what it is. And then you hear a growl or a bark. And you're scared stiff. So you run straight back to your mum or your dad and you cling to their leg. The Lord sends things into the world, difficulties into our lives, to be like these dogs in the bushes, to make us go back to him so we cling to him. God works all things together for the good, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Why? That we may be conformed to the image of his Son. Look at 1 Peter 1 chapter 2, exactly the same thing. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersia in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. They're coming from all different areas, all different tribes and groups, different cultures, different ages, different genders, different backgrounds. But they're all elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Why have you been saved if you're a Christian? You've been saved to give God the glory. For we are Christ's workmanship, that we may do the good works that God has foreordained for us to do before the world began. And here David gets it right. Why is it when somebody prays they don't get an answer? Could it be that they're not coming as a servant? They're coming as a master. Could it be that they're coming not asking for life and ability to glorify God? Could it be that they're coming not so that they will be able to keep the word of God? There must be this attitude in us, in our spiritual life. In me dwelleth no good thing. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That must be our motto. That must be how we come to prayer. And here is David coming to the Lord like that. What is the answer to contentment? It's knowing who you are in the universe in relation to God. What is the answer to dealing with bereavement and suffering and difficulty? And being able to trust God and love him and glorify him. It's knowing that we are here for him. And if we have him, we have everything. You know, there's the story of the man, and he's coming home, and his whole house is on fire. And as he turns down the street, he sees it cordoned off. And he sees the firemen there with their hoses on the house. And it's a blaze. There are flames everywhere. It's a ruin. There's nothing there. And he looks at it. And he starts smiling. And he's happy. And his neighbour says, don't you realise that your belongings are burnt? Your house is gone. Everything you own has been burnt. And he looks and he said, yes, but look, there's my wife and my children. They're safe. When the Lord saved us, he saved us for himself. That's why we're saved. To have a relationship with him. And nothing can separate us from that relationship. Nothing. Nakedness, famine, distress, the sword, height, depth, angels, any created thing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And here is David coming to his master. Coming to the one that loves him and that he loves. And he's asking him, deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. In the morning when you get up, it's a day the Lord has given to you to glorify him outside. With your friends, with your family, with those people you come in contact with. You're a Christian, you're a believer, and you've got everything you need. And you need to ask, you need to come to God with this start. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. That's the start of this section. Now, how does this section affect us? How does it affect us? Well, we're going to go through it fairly quickly because it affects everything. The first thing it does is it makes us realize that we don't know what we should know. We don't know God's will. Do you know what God wants you to do in this way? Does he? You know how God wants you to relate to your father or to your mother or to your sisters or to your boss? Do you know how you're supposed to relate to God? Do you know how you're supposed to relate to those people who sin against you? Do you know how you're supposed to work? Are you to do this? Are you to do that? How do we know what God's will is? Well, lots of people are waiting for a voice from heaven. Here is David, who's asked God to deal bountifully with him. And then he says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. There are two things here involved, and they're basic. I apologise for saying them to you, but they're basic. He's asked God to help him, and now he's going to read the Bible. He's going to read the scriptures, and he's asking God to help him understand it. Oh, help me understand it. Help me to take it in. The scriptures. When we read the Bible, it's like reading no other book, no other work in the world. This is a book that has been produced by the Lord God. He has written to us wonderful things, but people consider them strange. But he has written down love letters. He has written history. He has written the law. He has written proverbs and songs. He has written of his Son to us. The words of God. And here when David comes to it, he knows that he's going to have difficulty understanding it. Why? Because he's still in the body and he is still not as spiritual as he should be. And so he says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. When we come to the Bible, we don't come to a textbook or a novel. You can read textbooks, you can read novels, because they're to do with your intellect, they're to do with your background, they're to do with all these things. But the Bible, the Word of God, is to do with him. Only God can reveal God to you. Why do you have difficulty reading the Bible? Is it because you're not spiritual? Is it because you're not a Christian? Is it because you're not walking with him? You need to ask the Lord, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of your law. And in the New Testament, we see this. There's the Lord Jesus. After he's been raised from the dead, and he comes into a locked room, and they're shocked. And so he proves that he's been bodily raised by eating bread or fish and drinking. Well, not drinking with them, because he's not going to drink then later. And he's eating there and he's proving that he's there. And then he starts speaking to them of the scriptures in the law and the prophet concerning himself. And then we're told that he opened their eyes that they may understand the things written in the prophets. Doesn't matter how old you are as a Christian. Doesn't matter how long you've been on the Christian walk. You still need to ask God to open your eyes that you may see wondrous things out of his law. He has given to us his law. And he expects us to understand it. But only he can reveal himself to us. There are these atheists who go out and they say, God is hidden. He won't show himself. If he did this, if he wrote in the sky, or if he appeared as a pink unicorn in front of me like that, then I'd believe in him. And they said, I prayed for God to reveal himself like this to me. Are they coming to God as a servant? Are they coming to God asking him to give them life that they may keep his word? Are they coming to him and asking that they may open, or that he may open their eyes, that they would see wondrous things out of the law? I think not. But on this one, I shall delight. He who is humble and of contrite heart, and trembles at my word. David here wants the Lord to deal bountifully with him and enable him to fulfill his calling to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And immediately there he says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. A closed Bible is no good to you. You need to open it and you need to read it. But you need God to open your eyes so you may see what it actually says. Before we read, we must pray. When we read, we must still be praying. We must be always ready to do two things. One thing, we must always be ready to pray. two, we must always be ready to die. Those are the two things we must always be ready to do. And here is David saying, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things in your law. And then, verses 19, 20, 21, 22 and 23 are all arguments. He goes to God and he says, do this for me. Fulfill your promises towards me. Do this for me. Why? Because of all these arguments. Verse 19, I am a stranger in this earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Lord, you've changed me. I no longer belong here. I have been made spiritual by you. Enable me to walk as I'm supposed to. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. From the earliest times, every believer knew that they were aliens and strangers, temporary residents in this world, because they were looking for a heavenly home, a heavenly habitation. Though moth and rust will take all we've got, but our home in heaven shall never be taken. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Do not be a God that hides things from me. Lord, I am yours. I've become a stranger in this world. Secondly, he says, my soul breaks from longing for your judgments at all times. I have been changed. I am yours. I don't belong in this world. And my heart, how I seek after you, after the inward man. We know, if we're realistic and we're at home by ourselves, we know what we are. But we know what God has done for us. And the reason we feel so discouraged about ourselves is because we want to serve God better. There are some who have got that melancholic spirit, and they're naturally discouraged. And there are some who have got an optimistic spirit. You cut off their arm and they thank you for helping them lose weight. They're that kind of person. But there are Christians. And yet we have this twofold balance. We are mourning and yet forever rejoicing. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We're mourning because of our sins. We're mourning because of sin in the world. We're mourning because of our inability. We're mourning because we're not with the Lord, but we are blessed. And here he comes. My soul breaks. It's in fragments. My inward being. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Therefore, deal bountiful with me, that I may live and keep your commandments. And then in verse 21, he says, a contrast. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Those are the ones that you keep away from. Those are the ones that you hide from. But Lord, you have humbled me. You have humbled the proud. This valley, or this mountain, has been made into a valley. This crooked place has been made straight. Deal with me according to your word. I do not stray from your commandments. Those pointers that you've given to me, those statutes, I follow them. I seek after you. Help me, Lord. Verse 22, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. What is this reproach? What is this contempt? He isn't asking for the world to love him. He isn't asking for validation from outside. He is asking for God to enable him to serve him properly as a servant. Servants need to know the will of their master for us to serve. The foolish servant doesn't get instructions. But here he says, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. And then in verse 23, he adds another argument. Princes sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. The rich, the famous, the world, they go after those who are great. They go after those magazines which tell you about the celebrities, the stars, the great ones in the world, the successes, those who have gained money and wealth and honour and praise in this world. When they look at us, they consider us foolish. Princes sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. You know what kind of person I am, because you've made me. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. When we come to God, do we argue? Do we find promises in the scriptures, and then we should take them straight to God? If we find commands in there, then we need to go straight to God and say, Lord, I've discovered this command. I didn't know it before, and I know what I've been doing wrong now in this area of my life. Forgive me. Give me life. Give me ability. Help me to fulfill it. Why have we suddenly come across this command? It's because the Lord has fulfilled verse 18. He's opened our eyes, and we've seen something new. Do we argue with God? Do we bring his promises? Do we bring his commandments? Do we use the word of God as we should? And then he comes to his close. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. How can you tell whether somebody likes something or not? Well, if you give it to them, you'll see how they respond. How can you tell whether somebody takes somebody's advice or not? Well, you listen to or you see what advice they've been given, and then you see how they live. Notice here at the end, he says, your testimonies, God's intimate explanations and descriptions. Also, those things that he's given personally to his people, how do we treat them? Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. The word delight in Hebrew means light, beautiful, attractive, something I want to hold and rejoice in. They are my delight, the word of God. There are people who were put in concentration camps. There were people who were put in prisons. And yet, though they suffered, yet they spoke their last words of scripture. Why? Because their word, his word, was a delight. And when they didn't know what to do, and they were stuck, and their friends said, you should do this, you should do that, but the Bible said, you must do this. Which way did they go? Who is your counselor? Who is the one that comes alongside you and puts their arm around you and says, now then, I want to lead you in this way. I want to give you a coach. I want to give you a pep talk. I want to help you. I want to give you advice. I want to encourage you and enthuse you. Where do you get that from? Do you get it from your pastor? Do you get it from the officers? Do you get it from your wife, your husband, your boyfriend? Your friends? All our counselors will let us down. But here, his testimonies. Those things that God has given to us on oath. He has spoken on oath. The testimonies like in a law court. You speak on oath, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. God has given you his testimonies. Are they your counselors? Here is David. And David comes with a plea. He comes with the right attitude. And he comes with the right reason for that plea. We have a request. Deal bountifully with your servant. And we have a reason. That I may live and keep your word. That's for us. It's for every believer. God has made us his servants, and he will give us everything we need. It's not like the Egyptians that tell us to make more rocks or whatever and not give us anything. He gives us everything we need. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen.